Welcome to Distilled the Bourbon Podcast, where we drink bourbon and talk about it. I'm Brent. I'm here with my co-hosts, Brian and Chuck. And today, for the first time, we're announcing a brand new knucklehead on the team, Aaron Nelson. I don't know what you did to deserve this, but welcome, my friend. Great to have you.
I don't know if this is punishment or if this is or a good
redemption
thing.
Yeah. See.
Well, we decided we needed somebody that knew what they were talking about, and you do. So welcome aboard, my friend.
Well, we definitely know Brian doesn't. So.
Somebody's got to cover my weaknesses.
There you go. Well, fellas, you know, it's that time of year between Thanksgiving, before Christmas. You know what that means.
Credit card season.
Yeah, it does mean that too. But it's bourbon hunting season. Bourbon hunting season, when we're all out there looking for that one or two bottles that we just really want. Could be unicorns, could be just a hard-to-get product. So we thought we'd talk about that today and see what's on everybody's mind.
For the record, I thought hunting season was bourbon hunting season was January through December.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Thank you, Chuck. Wabbit season. In honor of that, I brought out an Eagle Rare. So we'll have a little sip of that today. It's a little more available than what I have seen in the past. I get it at a beverage bar and quite often. But you guys brought some things. What'd you bring us today?
So I brought a Blanton's Poland edition. So the difference between this and a traditional Blanton's is obviously it's just sold in Poland. It comes in at 98 proof as opposed to 94 proof. And the only way you're going to find this is if you know somebody in Poland or if you want to spend an outrageous amount of money here in the United States. Luckily, I had a connection in Louisville who traveled mm-hmm. from Poland and was able to score this bottle for me. So
it's beyond allocated.
It is beyond allocated. Wow. Yes. So I know Brent is a Blanton's lover. So I'm curious to see what you think of this bottle.
Yeah. I can't wait to try that.
Yeah.
So are you really a Blanton's, like you love Blanton's?
So I have been a Blanton's lover. I have not bought as much of it and consumed as much of it probably in the last year, just because I found so many great bourbons and I don't have, that you don't have to search for. We talked about it 100 times right. on the show. You know, it's like I can find bourbon that is as good tasting. Does it have the story behind it? Maybe not yet. But there are bourbons that I prefer better. But Blanton's, I will always have. I have like 3 bottles.
So one thing you'll learn is Aaron hates Blanton's.
Oh, is that right? Absolutely. But I don't have any Elijah Craig out here, man.
During a blind tasting, he chose as one of his top bourbons.
Top two for 2022. But that's a different episode.
There you go. Chuck, did you bring anything today?
I did. I brought I'm not sure if you'd exactly call this allocated, but it's not that easy to find. It's a Four Roses single barrel private selection.
Oh.
And the one I'm bringing came from the distillery. It's got Master Distiller Brent Elliott's name on it and his little story behind it. Every now and then they find a barrel in the Rick House. It's like, this is special. We're going to set this aside. A lot of these are available store picks. Brian has had private selection store picks. The first one I got, it was just sensational, and it didn't last any time at all. This is a brand new one. It's an OESK, one of the 10 Four Roses recipes. Oh, yeah. I just opened it today, so I haven't tasted it. I hope it lives up to its billing.
Yeah, I look forward to that, man. I tell you what, I'd like to try all 10 of those things sometime and figure out which one is the Four Roses
for
me.
Not at the same time, though, because probably not. It is.
Do they get better as they go?
No, so much work.
Yeah, somebody's got to do it. But yeah, we're doing God's work. But we tried all 10, and it was a tedious process to sample each and go back and forth and make your notes of which one you thought was the best.
But there are definite differences, right?
Oh, for
absolutely.
Sure.
So the mash bills, there are two different mash bills, B and E. Mm. And so the B.
Those are the strains, right?
Yes. There are 5 yeast strains. So the letters. So this one that Chuck has.
Well, I thought that was. I'm sorry. So I thought there were 5 mash bills and 2 yeast strains.
No,
I've got that backwards.
Backwards. There's 2 okay. mash bills and 5 yeast strains.
All right. Good to know.
And so the mash bill is the second letter.
Uh-huh.
And the yeast strain is the 4th letter. So B is high rye, 35% rye. And then E is less rye. It's 20% rye.
That's what this is.
And so then the other letters are the yeast strains, V, K, F, Q, and
Okay.
O.
K. I think it's
K. Anyway.
O is like one of the first letters, I think.
That is the very first letter.
Yeah.
So I'll get my cheat sheet.
Yeah. I think this is O E S K.
This one's O E S K. And then each of the letters, so V, O, F, Q, and K. So each of the letters describe the.
Is this going to be on the test?
Yes, there will be on the test.
Okay. Yeah, all right. So what did you bring for us today?
So Aaron? I brought Russell's Reserve 13. This is the second batch of Russell's Reserve 13. It sits in the very back of my cabinet. It's one of my favorites, and hard to find. And then I brought a Elmer T. Lee to look good on the table.
So it's the Russell's bourbon or rye?
This is the bourbon.
Okay.
All right.
Love well, rye.
Sounds good. So when I was sitting, when I was thinking about this topic, about which bourbons am I, what's on my list? What do I want to go find? I actually found two this week that jumped to the top pretty quickly. The first one, I was at Beverage Barn last week at the Pint Night, I think it was, and had a pour of E.H. Taylor Rye. Never had that before. Oh, my goodness, was it good. I mean, it was solid. It was a really nice, smooth rye. And so I immediately asked Brian when he came in if he had it. No, of course, it's allocated. It's hard to get. So I'm on the lookout for one of those. And then I was talking to my chiropractor this morning, Jesse Gillum, nice young man here in Henderson, Core Chiropractic. And we always end up talking about bourbon. He was telling me about St. Cloud. So I did a little research. I've never had St. Cloud before. Have you guys tried that before?
Yes, I've had the opportunity to try a couple of their single barrels.
So they're really kind of a blend between bourbon and art and
got a cool bottle too.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's a little pricey.
It is. $165 to $250, depending on which one you want.
Yeah. And I don't know how often they come out. I don't know if they're sourced. I've heard a rumor that they're sourced, but I look forward to trying to find one of those. Those are the two that are on my list, and I can't wait to get a hold of some. What about you, Aaron? What's on your list? What are you looking for?
Man, I have been in the hunt for a E.H. Taylor, keeping with the theme, barrel proof. I love higher proof whiskey. I've never owned a barrel proof. I had the opportunity to have a pour at a bar in Evansville. They had it sitting on the shelf, and they had the sticker on the bottom. It told the bartender how much the pour was. And so I asked the guy, I said, how much for a pour of that E.H. Taylor barrel proof? And he said, hold on, he reached up there, $8.
Yeah, I'll take 10.
And I said, there was about this much left. And I said, can I buy the rest of the bottle? And he said, you'll have to drink it all today. And I said, well, I can't drink it all today. And Heather said, well, I'll help. So we ended up, we had two apiece. And man, it was fantastic. But it's just one of those that it's hard to find. You can't
get.
Do they release that in the wintertime?
You know, I don't know. It's been like 2 years since we've received it. And when we received it, it was plentiful. And we haven't seen it since. Right. So I'm not sure.
Well, they've got a lot going on at Buffalo Trace. So who knows if that's on their radar right now or not. But that sounds delicious.
It's phenomenal if you like high proof whiskey.
Chuck, what are you looking for these days?
Well, I've never even seen it, but I would love to have some E.H. Taylor 4-grain. A few years ago, somebody, I don't know if it was, I don't even want to name magazine, but somebody ranked it as their bourbon of the year. I've tried a couple of other 4-grains. I found them to be kind of lacking. At least it wasn't my thing, but I do love Taylor a lot and would love to at least try some. And if I had a chance to buy a bottle, I would do it. Haven't even seen it on a shelf, not even teased about.
Yeah. Have you ever had their rye?
I have not.
Oh, well, you got to get a Beverage Barn and get some of that. But don't drink all of it because I want some more. Now,
I can't go till next week. $8 a pour.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So, nice. Yep. Well, Brian, I can't imagine that there's a bourbon out there that you don't have access to that you actually want.
So but
I'll ask you anyway.
I hate to do this just because we always talk about, you know, there's other products out there other than Buffalo Trace, and what do all of us do?
we choose Buffalo Trace
products. I was hoping that you guys would go with Jim Beam or something else, but I knew Brent wouldn't. He was going Buffalo Trace all day.
I would buy a Booker's 4 whenever it when it hits your shelf, I'll definitely get a Booker's Four.
We just got
the three was fantastic.
I'll put one back for you.
What time do y'all close?
Okay.
But for me, it's George T. Stagg. That's the one I look forward to every single year. It never fails. MSRP just went up. I think it's 109 now. But it's just an exceptional bottle for $109 to have a 120, 130 proof bottle that drinks like 100 proof. Mm.
So you said MSRP has went up to 109 now?
Yeah,
so
from 99.
You can find it for on most shelves at $7.99. Yeah.
So no more Stagg Jr. So there's just Stagg, right?
And then George T. Stagg, which is part of the Buffalo Trace Antique Collection,
okay,
which is released once a year, about this time of the year. We haven't received it yet. I know there'll be a lot of people out chasing trucks once it is on the shelves because it is that sought after.
Yeah. Sounds great. Sounds great. Well, my glass is empty.
You know, all we're doing is talking about it.
I know. Let's drink some. I'm going to try a little bit of this Blanton's, if that's okay. You brought it to the table, so.
I'm going for the Eagle Rare, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious to see what you think of that, Brent. And if you think the regular Blanton's is better, you're really going to hurt my feelings because I paid a lot of money for that bottle.
Well, I mean, I've got some in there to try it.
So I got a story about Blanton's. I bought a car recently, and not going to say where I bought it from, but the dealer brought me a bottle of Blanton's Black for purchasing the vehicle from me.
Wow.
And I was like,
Joey Marshew, you can call him out. He brought me one too.
Oh, okay. So he, but anyway, so let Heather try it. It's 80 proof, I think, if I'm not mistaken. It's somewhere, it's low proof, and she loves low proof bourbon. And there's about that much left, and I've had one pour of it. So every time I go to the liquor cabinet, I keep looking. I said, babe, you're going to have to not drink that whole bottle.
Good job, Heather. Keep going. It's man. Well, all right, let's give it a shot here. Okay, it's great. It's very good. I like it. I would totally buy a bottle of this if I would ever have a friend from Poland. So all of our Polish listeners, shoot me an email. I'll send you some Venmo. You send me a bottle. It will be great. Don't really do that. I'm not going to send you any money. But this is fantastic.
You also won't return the bottle if they send it, right?
What bottle? That's fantastic. Yeah, that's pretty good. So do we know, is it different juice? Is it different mash bill or anything? It's just a little bit higher proof.
I know it's different proof. And it's a blue label.
It's a blue label. I think they bottle this right in the little shack behind the gift shop, just like all the other Blanton's.
Yeah.
If you haven't done that tour yet, make your reservations. Don't be an idiot like I was and just showed up and got on a tour. But make your reservations and be sure you get if they don't take you to the Blanton's hut, ask if you can go in. I've seen some folks get in that way. To me, that is my favorite part of the Blanton's tour, is going through that little tiny building.
The Buffalo Trace tour?
Yeah, the Buffalo Trace. What did I say?
You said Blanton's tour.
Yeah,
Buffalo Trace. So we got in there one time when they were bottling. They aren't always bottling.
Right.
And it's a small building. You're right next to the bottlers. And I have to say, the folks who are doing the bottling and the corking, very gracious, very cool about having, you know, a bunch of lurkers hanging over their shoulder. In fairness, when we went, Blanton's wasn't quite as precious as it is today. Mm-hmm. 2016, 2017, 2018, I was trying to get the whole collection of all of the corks, all the horses, and you got to get two different kinds of ends. But back in that time period, even in Henderson, you go to a liquor store and say, I really need an L.
Right.
Oh, they got some B. I've already got a B. I don't need that one. But, you know, that doesn't happen much anymore today. So all the Blanton's corks that I have, you can actually go to the gift shop and buy.
You can buy them now.
Yeah. Every one that I have was either a bottle I bought or one that I finished off at a bar and said, hey, dude, can I have the horse? So I drank from all of those bottles. And it was just kind of a novelty at the time. I liked it fine. I liked this fine.
So have you ran across, I've ran across I'll have one bottle be good.
Yes.
Then I'll have another bottle that's not very good at all. Then I'll have another bottle that's fantastic.
You're talking about
Blanton's. Blanton. I guess because of the
single barrels. Yeah.
And so I guess I love single barrels, don't get me wrong, but the inconsistency of Blanton's is one of the reasons why. Like, this is great.
This is a good one.
This is
yeah.
Are you saying they're going to bottle it no matter what?
Yeah, that's what I think that, you know, they've put aside. This is Blanton's, and whether it's good or not, it's going in a horsey bottle.
I never had a bad experience with Blanton's. I always thought it was very good. I find this to be, I don't mean this as an insult, but I find it to be kind of inoffensive. Like, you know, someone who's just trying bourbon, I would not be afraid to let them try this one.
It's a good starter. Off. Yeah.
Yeah.
This has a different profile flavor-wise than most of the other Blantons I've had. This has nuttiness. It has a caramel, almost caramel pecan. Like, there is a nut profile on the back end that reminds me of a Heaven Hill product and why I like Heaven Hill so much. So, Brian, I think this is a Blantons I actually could get behind.
Yeah, there you go.
And I think the proof is a lot of why it's an intro bourbon for consumers, because most people don't start off drinking 120, 130 proof bourbon. You know, they eventually graduate to that level, but being less than 100 proof, I think that's a good starter.
Well, that was delicious. What are we having next?
Man, I'm interested in that.
Four roses.
Absolutely.
Light it up, Chuck.
OESK.
OESK.
So this one should be, it's the low rye.
20%.
So, and the K is a little bit of fruitiness. So a little spicy.
The little tasty notes that come with the bottle. A little piece of plastic hanging on the top of it will make a mess if we try to pour over it. Describes it as a spicy, which surprised me a little bit for
20% rye.
So my story with Four Roses Private Selection was my wife and I had not seen the new Four Roses gift shop since it opened, I don't know, a year or so ago.
Yep.
And we were just passing by on the Bourbon Trail. Just wanted to walk in the gift shop and take a look at it. And as soon as we walked in, they have kind of like a receptionist out front. And she says, so help me. What I thought she said was, we have Distiller Select. That's what's in my mind. And I said, oh, okay. I knew nothing about it. We went in the bar to find out if they had any of that behind the bar. Well, they didn't have that one, but they had a previous Private Selection or Distiller Select. And tried it. They said, it's going to be $18 a pour. I don't get the Aaron discount. I'm not in the trade, you know. I don't get the $8 pour. So I said, sure, we'll have it. And it was delicious. We knew it was going to be different. So I thought, we'll try this one. I was so ignorant on the subject, I never even took note of which recipe it was. I just knew that we brought it home, we opened it, and it was like, oh my gosh, this is the best Four Roses I've ever had. And I like Four Roses just fine. So it didn't last very long.
Yeah.
And I didn't keep the bottle. Next time I went to Four Roses, asked if they had the Distiller Select. No, you know, maybe they said, maybe try coming on a Thursday. We were up there 3 weeks ago and just popped in, and Donna was saying, they're not going to have anything. They actually had two of them.
Oh, wow.
They had two of them. And I went with the lower proof out of deference to Donna. I could have bought both of them, I suppose. Apparently, there's people out there who were determined to buy all 10.
Yes.
Right.
Which is going to cost you over $1,000.
Right. Sure will.
Even with the best deal that you can find.
I think I like what you said about earlier, where you said that bourbon hunting season is January through December. With Four Roses single barrels, that's absolutely the case, because you can, for that reason, if you're trying to find all 10, and you'll find your favorites. Like, you'll find a OESK and just absolutely love it. And then go to people try to find that OESK or one of the other ones that's hard to find. And so it becomes something that people do.
So it's interesting tasting this after the Blantons, because you go from a fairly
benign,
mild, standard bourbon to, it is a little spicier, I think.
113.4 proof. So it's got
high rye as well, right?
Low rye.
But it's delicious.
It doesn't taste.
I think it's just delicious.
It's very good.
Yes.
So thanks for bringing that, Chuck. I tell you, Four Roses just keeps growing on me. You know, that the barrel pick that you guys had at the store was one of my favorite barrel picks that I've had in a long time, and it's almost gone. It was just, we have enjoyed that so much, and this is fantastic.
Yeah, this is extremely good.
I like to believe that Brent Elliott actually has a hand in saying, mm-hmm. yes, this is going to be a private selection. And I don't really think I care which recipe is going to be. If he says this is a good barrel, I'll have some. Right. Yeah. I have to tell you, as I was leaving to come over here to the turret, I told my wife that I was going to take the Four Roses, and she pouted a little bit.
Donna, thank you so much.
I'm going to stick straws in there and drink the whole. Well, they might.
Where were those straws?
She was excited about it. I can now take it home to her.
Yeah, you can take it home.
This is going to be.
That's really good. I mean, that's a holiday sipper right there 100%. All day long.
So what do you get off this?
There is a nuance on the nose. I don't know the spice, but there is a spice on the nose that I'm picking up. Speaking of holidays, like a winter spice. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem like the low rye, and I had to double check. It's the low rye.
It tastes like a high rye.
My thought was, if this is the low rye, what does a high rye taste like? Is it going to burn my face off?
So
what?
I guess the OBSK would be nothing but spice.
There you
OBSK.
Go.
Because it would be higher rye, 35% rye, and the spice from the yeast strain. So the yeast strain is what gives this all its spice.
I wouldn't regard 20% as an especially low rye.
No.
It's pretty typical.
Yeah. Traditionally speaking, you know, Four Roses Single Barrel, when it came out, it was, I believe it's 19% rye. And back in the day, you know, 10, 15 years ago, that was considered high, very high rye.
Wow.
And nowadays, you know, people are pushing MGP 95.5 and all these other ryes. So, but that just tastes like a lot more spice and rye up front to me. And
so do you 20%. Like it?
I do like it.
Yeah. You're really a high rye kind of guy. Yeah. So you like this, don't you?
I do. Yeah.
My sister brought one at Thanksgiving. It was 51 corn, 39 rye, 10 barley. And it was way sweeter than you would have expected.
It's amazing how rye can be sweet.
Yeah.
My palate is so undisciplined. I tried a wild turkey rye, a 101 rye. Down at our favorite winery here in town after dinner. And I thought, that is the sweetest rye I've ever tasted. Mm. I brought it in here two or three weeks later. Wait, what happened to the sweetness?
It's because of what you ate that affected your palate.
Exactly.
Yep.
Farmer and Frenchman, I think they're having a bourbon tasting before too long. I've got to remember what that date is. I got to be sure to sign up for that. Farmer the Frenchman is an amazing restaurant. If you live within driving distance of Henderson, Kentucky, you need to make reservations and get over there and try that, whether it's a weeknight or a special night. Jennifer and I spent a night there in the little cabin. Oh, yeah.
We haven't thing. Done that yet.
It's cool.
Just a staycation to get away. There's like no TV there.
Absolutely.
You can't get a signal.
Not much.
It is fantastic.
That sounds awesome.
And we woke up that morning and had coffee. I walked outside. It was in the summer, or it was in first week of October. And there was a fog that you're 50 feet away from corn, and I couldn't see the corn.
Nice.
And I watched it roll back to like where the highway is. And it was just a beautiful morning. And man, Katie and Uber know what they're doing, don't they?
The TV there for me is the picture window.
Yes.
So the picture window is situated away from the property, just looking across Kentucky cornfield, basically.
Right.
You can kind of see vineyards off over here to the left. Mm-hmm. So we've taken a picture. We wanted to get a picture of every season down there.
Oh, yeah.
We need to be down there when it's when the snow on the ground.
Yeah.
Tried to book it for New Year's Eve.
Booked?
No.
Booked. Done.
Yeah.
So we got it last year.
Did you get the dinner?
We haven't. You know, it's 20 miles outside of town. You kind of hate to on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Be venturing out. Yeah. It was very handy.
County finance are going
to
be out.
Very handy to have a cabin to retreat to.
Right. He likes to go there New Year's Day for their
brunch.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
sweet.
We did that 2 years ago, and you know, we've been doing it ever since. We really enjoy it.
We went down for the brunch on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. It was tasty.
You know, Hubert, this is a bourbon show, but we're going to talk about wine for just a second. Sure. Hubert is so knowledgeable about wine that I have learned so much. I was not much of a wine drinker, and I've learned just enough that I found things that, that are interesting to me that I'll get out there and try something new. It's opened up a whole new world for me because it's just fantastic.
We went down to New Orleans on a couples trip, two or three couples, four couples, I can't remember, and Hubert was with us. And naturally, he selected the wine at all the restaurants that we visited. And at one in particular, he selected a Sensory, I think is how you pronounce it. I've never heard of it before. I may not be pronouncing it correctly. It was so good.
Is that a white?
It was a white.
A white.
Which I don't usually enjoy that much, although he's turning my head.
Is it dry?
It was a dry. Mm-hmm. It's a dry white, so it has to be. And Hubert leaned over and he said, we have it much more reasonably priced at F&F. Yeah. I got on I knew we were going to be there New Year's Eve, so I on my calendar I put order Sensory, if I'm pronouncing it right. It was delicious. Whites are okay. We've been doing a lot of Pinot Grigio of late, and dry rosé chilled in the summertime.
Yeah, summertime. That's the only time I can do the white wine. You know, it's got to be.
I'm going to give you a bottle of Albarino, which is a Spanish wine that's like as Hubert described it, as a Spanish Sauvignon Blanc, and it is a little citrusy, very dry. It is fantastic. We buy it by the case now. It's so good.
See, I do enjoy wine. I know that might not, or that may come to us as a surprise to some people.
No,
but
not at all.
My wife and I hit wineries all over
this
part of the country, and I'm a big red fan. Sure. But I love a Traminette, and it's especially in the summertime. It's one of my favorite wines. So,
have you had a Maya Camus red?
Yes.
Oh, that's some good stuff right there, man.
You said Camus?
Maya Camus?
Yep.
I haven't had that one.
Well, for all you bourbon drinkers out there, congratulations. You survived through the wine section of today's episode. and we'll get back to bourbon. A little sidetrack there. It's just really interesting to me. I never have liked wine. I now have an appreciation for it, and I'm learning as much as I can about it. It's just fantastic.
Idea for a upcoming episode.
There you go.
Wine podcast.
There you go.
Brian said I'll be on vacation that day.
We'll bring Justine in for that one.
There we go. So I just saw the Woodford Reserve has released a bourbon only available online that is triple finished.
Okay.
Triple?
It is triple finished.
In three different barrels.
Yeah, it is.
Is that only available, or is that their Master's Collection this year?
I think it's available only online.
Because they had the one they released for their Master's Collection was the Sonoma, and it was triple cask finished.
Okay.
So
maybe wrong.
What are the three finishes?
I don't have
obviously
a clue.
Obviously,
that could be very overwhelming.
Yeah.
Depending on what the three are.
Yeah.
Is it deep or is it confusing? We'll have to bother.
I'd have to crack one and try it. And it was more expensive than their normal
Masters
Collection releases. So I poured a Russell's 13. I'll pass it around. It's one of my favorite allocated bottles.
So you're going to dispel a myth for me.
Okay.
I heard from someone that I trust that all the Russell's brand is all marketing. It's kind of the same juice, just relabeled different ways.
I would highly disagree.
Okay.
And the only reason why I say that is I have the privilege of knowing a gentleman who used to be the quality control manager at Wild Turkey. And he's now the head brewer at Stone Brewing Company in Richmond, Virginia.
Okay.
So, he would tell you, in fact, that, I mean, he's heard that myth, and mm-hmm. I asked that question.
Yeah.
Smoking cigars and sitting around a fire one night.
Actually, we should bring him on.
That would be great.
Yeah.
He would love it.
Yeah.
So I asked him, I said, Matt, I said, rumor has it was exactly what you just said. He said, oh, no, because he handpicked the mm-hmm. Russell's single barrels for like a single barrel store pick. Only certain stores get to actually go pick their barrel.
Okay.
He will handpick a Russell's single barrel for a given store and send it to them. Mm. And he said for sure that's 13 year juice.
Okay.
So.
Well, it has definitely a different nose than anything else we've tried today.
Yes. You could tell the age
mm-hmm.
all over it, and it's higher proof, and it's sweet, and it's caramel, and
wow.
it's dessert.
That is definitely different than anything else we've had. I think I like it, but it is so different from anything else.
It's dry.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a dryness.
That's a good idea, Brian. Let me do a little
clear my
little
palate.
Wash here.
And it's older probably than anything else we've had today.
For sure. No doubt. Let's talk about that. How old is the Eagle Rare?
Anybody 10 know? Years.
10? And then the Blanton's is?
That I don't know.
It's kind of a mid thing, right? It's kind of like a.
Yeah.
I'm that not one really seemed sure. to be older, though. I don't know anything
about it. It does. I'm not sure about the overseas Blanton's. So I don't want to speculate on that. And then Four Roses.
Between 6 to 8.
I thought it was 9 to 11.
That's right. You're right. 9 to 11. I was thinking about something else I read. But yeah, 9 to 11. And then this one is 13.
So this is bourbon?
Bourbon.
This does not taste like bourbon to me. I was about to say it tastes like rye.
Yeah.
Which is why I love it.
Yeah. There you go.
So for me, this is hands down the winner.
Really?
As far as the ones we tasted, it's really good. I will say that the Russell's 10-year for probably a fourth of the price for 60, 70 bucks.
Okay.
You can buy, and it's almost, it's not as good, but it's comparable.
Is that pretty popular then at the store?
It is.
Can you keep it on the shelf?
No, we can't keep the 10-year on the shelf. 13-year obviously is allocated, and we raffle that, but the 10-year, if you can find it on a shelf, you need to buy it for 60 or 70 bucks.
So was the standard 8-year
Russell? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
and the rye is 6-year Russell's. If you've not had, you're not a big rye fan though, are you, Brent?
No, I mean, I like rye, I've got to be in the mood for rye.
The Russell's 6-year, it's a green label. Man, it is fantastic.
It is fantastic.
Really? I've never had that one.
Oh, it's
I think
delicious.
I've told the story before about us doing a tour at Wild Turkey, and only after the fact finding out that our tour guide was Jimmy Russell's granddaughter.
Oh, wow.
And I was, wow, that's amazing. And she said, yeah, sometimes he's around and he'll autograph bottles. You want me to call him and find out if he's here? I said, well, sure. I said, granddaddy? I said, where are you? Gift shop? Okay, I'm gonna send some people down. So we go. He wasn't there when we walked in, but an hour later, he's sitting there on kind of a high stool, and obviously, I'm going to get some Russell's to take over there, and I got some Russell's rye. I said, Mr. Russell, would you mind autograph that? He pulls out the gold Sharpie.
He was ready.
Beautiful signature. Very gracious man. Probably should have left it unopened. I think I still have the bottle. But I'm not ashamed of the fact that we opened it and enjoyed it a lot.
It is delicious.
It is fine.
So I think we're going to have to do another rye episode. We've done some before.
Oh, let's.
But we'll bring our favorite ryes. Okay. I'm bringing Peerless.
Taylor.
And Casey Jones, because it's fantastic for the price. I don't know that there's a better rye for the price.
And I
got
one the other day that is just, you can't find it around here.
Yeah.
It is a Michigan rye, 100% Michigan rye.
Oh, okay. Yes.
And it is delicious. 115 proof. It's from 2 James Distillery out of Michigan.
Yeah, Evansville Bourbon Society picked that. Yep.
It was very cool.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll do that for sure. Other allocated bottles or highly sought after bottles that we didn't mention here today. I know that Jesse talked a little bit earlier about Michter's 10-year. You know,
it's a good one.
We've talked before that we're not always big Michter fans, but some of the older stuff is pretty good, right?
So you might be mad at me, but I was at Michter's a month, 6 weeks ago, just to do a tasting before we did a barrel pick at Angel's Envy, and had a chance to taste some Michter's. I respect Michter's. I respect the tradition and Pennsylvania rye, and it's a beautiful building on Bourbon Row in Louisville, and you know.
It's not in your flavor profile.
It is not in my flavor profile. And we had the bartender come over two or three times saying, there's Michter's 10 downstairs. And people were like bees to the to the flower. People were running downstairs, or going down the elevator, actually, and coming back with these bags of it. And I don't know if it's $130, $150, something like that. And my buddy, who has a huge collection, I could tell he really wanted to go, but I had tasted it and I said, man, I just don't care for it. You know, when you first mentioned the show, I think you were talking, or this episode, you were talking about the idea of, in the world of allocation, what do you absolutely want to find and what would you leave behind?
I was going to ask that question.
Yeah.
Which one you would leave behind?
I had a chance to buy the Michter's 10. I suppose I could have bought it and sold it to somebody else. And, you know, I made $40 or something stupid, but I don't care for this. I'm going to leave it on the shelf for somebody who either wants to make some money on it or will
hopefully enjoys it.
Yep. That would be the idea. So no, people who tell me I don't like bourbon, I say, you know what I call that? More for the rest of us.
Right. There you go.
So me not caring for Michter's or Michter's 10 is like, I'm leaving it behind. So someone else can appreciate it.
So I'm going to leave Bill Miller and all the guys at the pint nights, all the Wellers. I'm not going to spend money on Wellers anymore. Would I try the white label?
Or
no, not a single one. Just not interested in Wellers anymore. I can find
no 12-year-old.
Nope. I have a bottle of 12-year-old in there that I probably will not drink. That you will probably drink for me. And I know that's one of your favorites.
I think he's looking at you like, can he take it today?
Yeah, you can walk out of here with it.
It'll be here.
I would rather have a Green River or a Casey Jones product over Weller any day of the week.
I feel that way about Special Reserve. And I still Green have label, several. Right? I've got some handles of Special Reserve. And it's just like, I used to love her, but I don't anymore. It's a country song.
Yeah.
Weller 12, the last I knew, I loved it. CYSB.
CYBB.
Yeah. I just never cared for it.
I heard that, I'm off that train. This year is better than it has been, but I bought one bottle of it. I'll never buy another bottle of it.
I'm not a big fan of it.
So,
from Buffalo Trace, all of us
you can have all the Weller. We'll trade Weller for E.H. Taylor
all day.
Yep.
So anything else, Brian, what's on your naughty list that you're not going to be?
And what would you leave behind?
Pappy Van Winkle.
There you go. Yeah,
sure. You beat me to it.
You mean Weller?
Weller basically. Yeah. And the reason is if you can get an MSRP, it's an okay. It's actually a really good bourbon if you're, you know, into bourbon. But for the price and what you're going to pay for it, you can get 10 different bourbons on the shelf every day for the same price you're going to pay for that one bottle. And it's a novelty thing. You know, you want to impress your friends during the holidays or your family. But
you've had too much bourbon to drink at a charity auction.
Yeah. Brent knows all these stories.
Okay. $3,000 for a bottle.
You wouldn't buy that just because it's so ridiculously overpriced. What allocated bourbon would you not buy just because you don't like it?
Because I don't like it?
Yeah. Like me and Michter's 10.
I'll jump in. Oh. I have a highly allocated bottle that it's the Sazerac 18 year on the Buffalo Trace Antique Collection.
Mm-hmm.
It's 80 proof. If it was 100 proof or even higher, it would be fantastic. But they water it down to 80 proof.
Your wife probably
loves
it.
It's 18 years. She hasn't had it. I'm not ever getting it for her because that would be one that I have
to buy. Heather, I'm getting you a bottle.
But
is the Sazerac Rye?
The 18 year Sazerac Rye in the VTAC collection. I just cannot. Nope.
I can have it. I have tried a bit of Sazerac Rye. It is a rye I just don't care for. There are ryes I love. Sazerac is one I don't care for. I don't care for the Sazerac cocktail either, with the exception that in New Orleans at Sazerac House, they have a pre-mixed Sazerac, and it's kind of like, oh, well, if they serve me this, that's pretty yummy.
Is it the licorice that you don't care for?
I do not like that. Is it anise? Is that the right word?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I don't like.
Well, I've had a Manhattan.
Not anise. Absinthe. Yeah, right.
I've had a
Sazerac.
Yes.
Yes. But Sazerac rye, I also, it is a Sazerac company product. So I guess we got Weller Special Reserve and White Label and Sazerac rye. I wanted to like it.
Yeah.
Ryan, did you ever think of one?
So I did. And I was perplexed by that question just because, you know, a lot of these single releases are single barrels or, you know, they change every year. And the one for me, I hate to say this, is Old Forester Birthday Bourbon. Mm. Like from one year and this year's, I saw what you said about this year's.
No. I had last year's. I had 2022. Last year's.
Okay. From one year, it's just like the CYPB for some people. Some people absolutely love them. And the Old Forester Birthday Bourbon for me is that way. There's some years I absolutely love them. There's some years I hate them. So I would recommend is trying it before you buy it. You know, if you can go to a bar or restaurant, of course, these allocated bottles, you know, you don't have the opportunity to do that. So
give me a week and I'll come.
Yeah, give me a week. That's not going to happen. So you probably should just buy it. But there's Old Forester Birthday Bourbon that's that way for me. CYPB has never satisfied me, even at $60. So
what about the Old Fitzgerald decanters? They're all bottled in bond. To me, I mean, it's a beautiful bottle, but the 10-year, the 17-year, the 16-year, the 15-year, the 12-year, it doesn't matter. They all taste the same because they're 100 proof. Mm. And so that's another one you can have all the pretty decanters you want. I want the juice inside the bottle. Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned birthday cake. I've had it only once. Birthday cake? Is that what they call it? Is it not birthday cake?
Birthday bourbon.
Birthday bourbon.
You can have it with cake though.
May make it better, right?
Bourbon and cake. So went to Old Forester on Main Street in Louisville, and at the bar that you can do a premium sampling that includes the birthday and a couple of others I never had. Man, the birthday, it was the 2022. I liked it a lot, and I had zero expectation. I promised my wife I will take her, and we will do a couple of premium pours.
Pours, yeah.
Yeah.
Those Old Forester single barrels are another hunted after bottle that you can't get your hands on very often. Blue Label for bourbon, Green Label for rye.
Yeah.
They're both really, really good high ABV.
What you need is a Kevin proof in your life. Yeah. Kevin, my brother from another mother, who finds me these things at Costco.
I need a Kevin.
Low retail. He found one and it's fantastic. It's really good. I would buy one anytime I had a chance to do it.
You haven't shared it yet?
Do what now?
You haven't shared it yet?
You had some. Okay. Yeah. It was so good you didn't remember it.
So Old Forester, good news, bad news. I was with a buddy in Louisville a few years ago and I think I was talking about going to Total Wine or something like that. And he said, oh, come to my neighborhood place. So he likes Old Forester 86, great value. But he pointed to the Old Forester 100 and he says, that's really good, but it costs more. So he wouldn't get it. So I said, well, let me. Now, at this time, I was making cocktails at home with a very old Barton.
Yeah.
And very happy to buy a handle for $22 or something like that. Big mistake. Me trying Old Forester 100.
You will never make another cocktail.
I sent a Dear John letter to very old Barton.
It makes a great cocktail.
All right. So it's hunting season for bourbons. We've discussed a few here. I can't wait to try some of the things that we've purchased. Aaron, welcome to the show. Glad you're here, buddy. Fellas, it's always fantastic to see you. I don't know if we'll have another episode before the end of the year. I hope we do.
Hope so.
But if not, please drink responsibly.